Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Push My Story. Everybody have a story to tell. Everybody's dealing with something, somebody, or some phenomena. Amen. God has been so good to us. Amen. We breathe. We give you greetings all the way from Florida, Orlando, Florida. Amen. The Sunshine State. Praise God. Today, amen, we have some great, amen, discussions today, and God is really moving in the last evil days. You have been waiting for a long time. Now it's your time to shine. But before we get on our way, we want to have you jot down some scriptures, amen, and go back and study the Word of God, soak yourself in the Word of God, and meditate. And God will give you a revelation knowledge, amen, praise God, will blow your mind. You know, I want to talk about Habakkuk today. Habakkuk, the second chapter, and I want you to go to the book of 1 Peter, the fifth chapter, the 10th verse. And then we want you to go to the book of Isaiah, amen, the 43rd chapter, Isaiah 44, 45, 46. They talk about God's greatness. How powerful and almighty that he is. Now, Habakkuk was a prophet of God. And God ordained him, and he had an assignment, just like we have an assignment, and we have been ordained from our mother's womb. Praise God. Yes, you have a mission from God. And let me tell you something. I want to tell you a little bit about, amen, going through boot camp. Sometimes we have to be trained, and sometimes we have to learn, amen, some of the things that we have to be encountered with later. And I want you to realize, amen, that the one thing that God wants us to do is to trust him. We have to learn to trust him, to discipline our mind. Amen. Once we discipline our mind in the Word of God and we trust God, amen, praise God, we can rely on him. Amen. The Bible says that the righteous walk by faith and not by feelings, neither by our emotions. Okay, now, Habakkuk, you know, being a prophet, you know, sometimes God got us in boot camp, and we have to learn because the things that we're going to encounter, we have to be ready to fight. I mean, we fight for everything else. We hold on to everything else. So it takes all it takes is discipline. So there's things that we have to contend with every single day, with our family, our jobs, associates, amen, acquaintance, and plus the world standard. And, you know, that calls for happiness, unhappiness, amen. It comes altercations, just different things that just continue to happen. Amen. But God wants us, amen, to not be stressful. Amen. He wants you to be happy, not sad. Amen. The life that God wants you to live is not a life of overrun by stress. Amen. You were created to live and be fulfilled. Amen. To rest and have peace. Amen, to overcome in life. Now, Habakkuk was looking at conditions in the world. Amen. So you can't let the world get into you. If you do, what happens is it's raging. It's like a storm. Amen, praise God. And God did not equip you, amen, praise God, to do his job. He only equipped you to do your job. And your job is to trust him and believe in him. Amen. It said, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I will answer when I am being reproved. You see, we have to learn to take directives from God, to take instruction. And that's one thing that we have to condition and discipline our mind, amen, and our spirit, amen, to hear the voice of God, amen, learn the word of God so we'll know exactly which path to take. And many times we cause a lot of things upon us because we fight against God. Amen. Praise God. Instead of, you know, following direction, amen, because he laid out this plan. He knows the plan. He knows everything about you and what you're able to take and what you're not able to take. See, the Bible said after you suffer a while, he'll establish you, he'll establish you, and he will make you perfect and tired wanting anything. See, he conditioned you, amen, for warfare, for the things, amen, praise God, that will come and take your happiness, things that will try to break your spirit, things, amen, to bring confusion, things, amen, praise God, to torment you and bring fear. God did not give you the spirit of fear. He gave you love, a sound mind, amen. He gave you power. He gave you strength, amen, for the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. We love the Lord today, and God is doing so many great things. We have Elder Livingston here, amen, my beloved husband, amen, and I'm so glad he's going to join us today. He's going to give you some feedback. If you have any questions, you know, please feel free to call in 646-915-9303. Praise God. And we're just looking to see what God has in store for us in 2016. We are so excited. Here we have Elder Livingston from Push Outreach Ministry, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ as far as it can go.
Praise the Lord, everyone listening to the sound of my voice. This is Elder Livingston, and today I was meditating and thinking on the good things of the Lord. And every day that people, you know, when you get up, the first question that should probably come to your mind before you begin your day is, what are you going to do for your soul today? Well, why would you say that? Well, you see, God says he wished that your soul prosper and be in good health, okay? But the only way your soul can prosper and be in good health is you got to feed on things that are on the heart of God. You know, you have to personally, you know, you have to have your mind stayed on God and what he would like for you to do for him on the day that he has given you to live, because none of us are promised tomorrow. And even though we are not promised tomorrow, God has outlined in our lives, if we are submitted to him as we are Christians, we will obey and do what he commands us to do for that time period of the day or any part of the day. It says in the word of God, obedience is better than sacrifice, okay? A lot of people can make up excuses about things that they have to do or going to do that have nothing to do with what God instructed them to do for the day. And then they say, yeah, God, but by doing what I did, I, you know, furthered the kingdom or helped you. But you see, that was your mind, your carnal mind, trying to go around God's design for his specific allotment of your time during that time period of the day when you're supposed to be plugged into God and doing what he commanded you to do. You cannot make excuses, and you cannot say, well, I'm in the permissive will of God. Personally, I don't believe that there's a permissive will of God. I believe that there's just the will of God, period. And either you are in obedience and in compliance with the mind of God, or you are not. Okay? Now, the degree to which you are submitted to the mind of God will all have to do with how you pray and try to communicate with God. You know, prayer is talking to God. Now, if you think how many days, you know, you spend doing, how many hours or minutes you spend during the day doing everything that you think you have to do or want to do, how much of that time during your 24-hour time clock have you allowed to spend time with God? God desires to fellowship and commune with you, but he can't commune with you if you don't talk to him. Now, he will talk to you anytime, you know, you try to talk to him, okay? God's telephone number is Jeremiah 3:33. Okay? Now, I'm not going to say what that is. I want you sometime today to go look that up in the Word of God. And if you follow the instructions in that scripture in the book of Jeremiah, it will tell you what you need every time you need to talk to God, whether you just want to commune with him and bless him or you want to talk to him about something that's going on. That's his telephone number. He didn't. Well, you mean God has a telephone number? Well, God has everything. He even left a telephone number in scripture for you. If you knew where to look for it, I call it God's telephone number. Why? Jeremiah 3:33. Now think about that. Look at the sequence of the numbers. You got three. Three is the Trinity. Okay. You have two Trinities. All right. Those two threes. You have one three is the Trinity of man. Okay, which is spirit, soul, and body. Then you have the Trinity of the perfect deity, which is spirit. You have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now all three of those persons of the Godhead are God. Okay. They all three work as one unit. They all work to complement one another. Okay. But you, when you talk to God, you have to rely on His Holy Spirit that's in your human spirit, so that you can have a direct, more viable line to the throne room of God. See, when you talk to God, it's not like, you know, some of these churches where you got to go see the priest and the priest got to listen to your confession and then you're going to go to God. No. That's not what you do. You don't go to some person who's a third person or somebody who's in between everything, and you want them to intercede on your behalf to God. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He made it right there. He made it possible for us to intercede directly to the throne room of God. We don't have to go through no third party, okay? We can talk to God directly, okay? But a lot of people don't want to submit their hearts to God. They don't want to submit their lives to God. And then when they have a problem, they think they can just come up to God any old time they feel like it and ask God to do them, do something for them, okay? Now, God's not going to show anybody any favor in their life if they don't spend no time with him. Okay, you're just going to go out there and you're going to get frustrated and you're going to say, well, since I haven't heard from God, I'm going to do it myself. Now, the reason you may not have heard from God when you tried to talk to him would be several reasons, okay? It could be several things going on. It could be something that's going on in your life. It could be God's timing where he doesn't want to, he heard you the 25th time when you told him about it and he don't want to intercede at this time because God's time is his time. It's not our time. So whenever he decides to answer or deny your request, that's up to him, okay? But just because you don't hear from him, because your flesh doesn't feel that it's taking such a long period of time, and I don't think he cares, or I don't think he's listening. All right, see, the enemy will always give me an excuse. When you want things to go a certain way and they don't work out, okay, if you ask God about something that doesn't work out, he's going to always accuse God of not doing what he was supposed to do and try to get your mind and your heart off of God onto his agenda, which is really not God's agenda, okay? And all good things are God, all right? Now, everybody would do good. In the book of Philippians in the New Testament, it says the following. There's a scripture. It says, think on those things which are true. All right, now how many things in the world can you think about that's true? Well, what is truth? Everybody comes up there with this question, what is truth? All right, well, they say truth is either relative or it's absolute, okay? If it's relative, that means that it changes depending on circumstances or how you feel about it. If it's absolute, that means it's parallel truth. There's no mixture. There's no crossing over, and you can't take God and mix him up with some theory or something else coming around here. No. That's relative truth, okay? That's people in these different isms and religions around the world trying to take their system of a theology and trying to make it complement what the Word of God says and doesn't say. That's not truth, okay? That's confusion, right? You must deal with absolute truth, and the absolute truth is Jesus Christ came. He was born of a virgin. He was God manifested in the flesh. He walked around the earth for 33 years. He didn't start his ministry till he was around 30 years old. So his ministry really took about 3.5 years before God sent him out to do his ministry, okay? Now, you must understand, God released Jesus to do his ministry first. He released him into the wilderness to be tempted, okay? So he had to be tried before he went out to ministry. Now, all of you say, well, I just got saved, and I'm going to do a great work for the Lord. Well, no, you're going to have to understand, before you do any kind of great work for the Lord, I promise you, you're going to have a wilderness experience, and you're going to have to be tried. And you're going to be fine wanting or not wanting, because God's not sending nobody out there who doesn't know how to engage in spiritual warfare to do what he wants done. Okay? So you must, okay? You, when you're dealing with God, when you're dealing with the Godhead, which is the Trinity of God, okay, you have absolute truth. Absolute truth means there's no lying in it. There's no deception. There's no confusion in it. And there's no conjuring up something to make it sound good. See, there's a whole lot of people talking stuff, and it sounds good, you know. Wow, that really sounds good. But is it the truth? Okay? Truth is actually, you have absolute truth, and you've got relative truth. And anything which is not absolute truth, when I say absolute truth, I'm talking about things that are based on the integrity and character of God, then you're dealing with relative truth. I don't care what it is, who it is, or what system you're dealing with. That's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with relative truth that has no basis in the Word of God, but it has a whole lot of structure in man's theories and man's whatever, okay? So absolute truth and relative truth. What is truth? Now, I don't know why God went into that about the truth, but there seems to be a lot of confusion going on in the world now about when you go up to somebody, well, it could be, it doesn't have to be the way you say it is. It has to be another way. Well, the only way to distinguish that is you distinguish when you talk to people. You must say to the Holy Spirit that indwells you, would Christ be happy with what I'm getting ready to do, or would he want me to do it that way? If you come up with a negative answer, it don't feel right, or in your spirit, you should flee it. Don't mess with it, okay? It says in the Word of God, flee the very appearance of evil. Anytime you see something that looks good, I don't know, all five of your senses is working. Taste, smell, hear, see, and touch. Anything you see in those five sense realms that's working in you and you think it's right, but if God's not in it, see, the proper protocol to know whether it's right is first you have the Holy Spirit, okay, that gets in your human spirit. And your human, the Holy Spirit in your human spirit dictates to your mind whether it's relative or absolute truth. And then from there, it gets into your flesh, which is your body. Now, the weakest part of our Trinity is our body. That's the part where a whole lot of sin occurs. That's the part where Satan knows that people are into the, you know, about into the body thing. And then the next thing, you know, he wants to get you into the emotional realm where you have to get all, you know, you got to sense and feel and all that. All of these things are legitimate. There's nothing illegitimate about the five senses, and there's nothing illegitimate about the soul. But when the soul is not occupied, okay, you know, by the Word of God, okay, it says you have to renew your mind, and your mind is in the soulless realm. If your mind is not renewed by the Word of God, you cannot make the proper decisions for certain things that's going to come around you and come into your path. You're going to run into a hard wall. You're going to run into obstacles. And if you don't have the Word of God grafted into your mind, you're going to run into a big time, the spirit of confusion. And that's what the devil like. He's the father of lies, and he's the father of confusion. He's the father of a whole lot of things. Okay, but he really likes to keep the true body of Christ. He doesn't want unity, because when people get united and they get in unity, they can get a lot accomplished for the kingdom, okay, of God. Okay, but he wants you not only to be confused with regard to the kingdom of God, but he wants to get you away from God so that you can get into the kingdoms of flesh, all right, and the kingdom of soulless thought and reason. Because, see, once you do that, he knows that you can say, well, I talked to God. God never heard you, because he knows that you have a lot of idolatrous structure. Okay, you built up these idols of flesh, you built up these idols, you built up these images in your imagination that are not in compliance with the Word of God, and you look to those things for your aids and your help, and you depend upon those things, okay? And if those things don't go right because of circumstances, all of a sudden your whole world comes apart, or your whole whatever it is you're trying to do comes apart, and then you start trying to look the people to blame but not looking to God and ask him why didn't it work out. So you must be careful, okay, and you must be cautious. So basically you have to be prayed up, and you have to, it says the Word of God, pray unceasingly. Now, I don't think that you got, like I'm talking to you now, you have verbal prayer. You don't have to talk to God audibly. You can talk to him in the spirit of your mind, okay? So you can be standing right around a bunch of people, and you thinking, looking around, God showing you stuff, and you praying through your mind right there. God knows the intents and thoughts of everything that's in your mind. He knows every thought before you even think it. What do you mean he knows? He knows every thought before you even think it. If you're going to think evil, he knows exactly what time you're going to think the evil, what time the evil is going to present itself, and he even knows the outcome of the evil. So I'm telling you, you have to. God knows the end from the beginning, okay? God knows the end from the beginning, and you have to have your spiritual senses exercised and developed accordingly. And that can only be done when you give God quality time. Well, what do you mean quality time? Quality time is, you know, the time when you want to do your favorite whatever. Well, if you sacrifice some of that quality time sometime and you submit to God and you give that to God, you know, God will reward you. You know, he rewards you. But, you know, see, God desires to commune and fellowship with man, because when you communicate, you can exchange thoughts and ideas. When you don't communicate, nobody knows what nobody's thinking, and then you just got a bunch of people walking around trying to figure stuff out, but there's no communication. So if you don't spend time with God, which means you don't want to communicate with him, then God can't really speak to you. All right, and then and I'm going to tell you something. If you don't spend time with God, the enemy's going to make sure he finds things for you to do with the time you don't spend with God that he wants you to spend that don't have nothing to do with God, so he can get your attention off of the things of God and get your attention on the cares of this world and the deceitfulness. I said again, deceitfulness of riches. All right? Everybody just gained these riches and God has blessed them. They say God blessed them. Well, maybe God blessed them. Maybe God didn't. Maybe the enemy blessed them. Okay? And then they say, well, God did it. Yeah, but how did you get it? Did you get it the way God gave it to you? Or did you get it through one of your little schemes or your little plots? Okay? Now, I know, look, now a lot of you, I can feel the sense of a lot of you think, well, I don't like what you talk. Look, you may not like what I'm saying to you, but I'm trying to save your spiritual life about some things, because the enemy is very cunning and he's crafty, and he wants to get your mind off the things of God, and he wants your mind on the cares of this world so that you don't spend any time with God. So if you don't spend any time with God, then the cares of this world become preeminent and important in your life, and God is pushed to the back burner. You cannot do that. You have to. It says in the Word of God, we walk by faith, not by sight. Okay, you just think about it. You walk by faith, not by everything you see. Okay, because if that was the case, we'd all be in a mess. You think we see, oh, that's God. Oh, look at that. That's God. Oh, that's God. No, you walk by faith, not by sight. And that's why when you spend time with God, God will give you, if you seek him, he will give you the best gifts. Now, it's 9 gifts of the Spirit. The discernment will let you exercise your senses, your spiritual senses, whether God wants you to spend time with that or dwell on that or not. Okay? But it says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Okay? Now, a lot of people say, let this mind be in me that was in Christ Jesus. Yeah, well, I was thinking about, I was reading about how his mind was, and listening to some things he had. I don't really agree with a lot of that stuff. I think that's a little too harsh. I mean, he don't allow no room for no fun, no play. No. He allowed room for things, okay? But certain things, when you become a child of God, you cannot access. They're forbidden, okay? And where a lot of people get into a lot of controversy and they get upset is because they get into the area where the things are forbidden, and they don't like the word forbidden. They said, who's supposed to tell me what's forbidden and what's not? That's why you got a whole lot of mess in this world now going on. That is not permitted by God. There's a lot of perversions, a whole lot of things, all right? All right? You got sin, sickness, disease, infirmity, alcohol, drug addiction, and perversion. All of this mess is going on in this world because people do not want to listen to the Word of God or the man and woman of God that's sent to them to try to guide them to the way of truth. And like I said before I turn things over to the pastor here, truth, what is truth, okay? Truth is 56 books of something called the Holy Bible, or the Holy Scriptures. if you're just starting out, preferably when I started out, I still like it. It's the King James Version. It's a whole, that's bad, you know. And then you got to understand, every version that's out here now is a derivative from the King James. First, the King James got to the English world, and then they started making all these other versions. But there's a lot of other good versions. But if you want the truth can only be found in the inherent, written, and rhema word of God. And now I give you Pastor Mina.
Rebecca, he really, really was talking to God and complaining about things that he was seeing, things that he heard, amen. And God wants you to trust him. As Elder was saying, amen, he's explained that so plain even a child can understand it. And look, take it personal. Don't get offended. You know, at least research. Check it out, you know, and talk to God for yourself. Don't take our word. Give him the word and seek it out for yourself. Amen. And Rebecca, you know, he just complaining and amen, and things that he saw that was going on in the nation. Amen. He was watching the killing and all the cruelness and the people being mean to each other and how people were being greedy and how people were, you know, hating on each other and disrespecting one another. And it goes on and on and on. But let me tell you something. We shall live and declare the works of the Lord, and God is with his people. Now, the thing about it, if you don't have the covenant is to protect you, and it's the agreement that God has promised to those that believe and is holding on to his unchanging hand. Now, I want you to know that God is he's more than capable of taking care of you. He created you. He made you. Amen. Praise God. He knew you before the foundation of the world. God is super, amen, praise God, and it takes time, just like anything else. We have to take the time, amen, go into the spiritual library, amen, and learn of God. The Bible tells us to take the yoke upon him. Take the yoke and learn of him, for he's meek and lowly in heart, amen. And let me tell you something. God will not put no more on you than you can bear. I promise you, if you go through, amen, the things that you go through is for your benefit, is for satisfaction, you will be glad. Because I'm going to tell you, anything that's good and wonderful that's going to save you, things that's going to bring you happiness and joy is worth, amen, the suffering. Because you have to learn and develop and discipline yourself and your mind, because see, your mind is where God transmits. Amen. The devil transmits as well to the mind. God speaks to the heart as well. God has all any kind of communication to commune with you. Amen. But you cannot learn except you get into the will of God. It is not hard. God loves you. And look, this go on. After this life, guess what? There is, amen, a place that he has prepared for those that love him. Amen. He loves you with everything, every fiber of his being. You are of his creation. All we have to do is take out the time and learn of him. Study him. Meditate. Talk to him. Amen. You'll find out he's a friend indeed. You'll find out not only he's just a God, amen, he's a friend. He could be your mother, your father, whatever you need. Amen. It doesn't matter what you have done in life. God, amen, shed the blood, amen, through his son. Amen. Forgave us for all our sins, for all our debts and our trespasses. All we have to do is repent. All we have to do is turn around, turn from our sinful way, be godly sorrow for your sin, and ask God, amen, to direct you, show you the way. Amen. He loves his people. He said, look, when you go through the water, I'm with you. When you go through the fire, I am with you. The fire will not kindle against you. The water will not overflow you. God said he will be with you always to the end of the world. Amen. Hold on. Be prayerful. Amen. I know it's not always easy. Amen. Things seem like they're getting out of hand, but take out that moment. Take out that time and commune with God. Amen. We love you. Amen. All the way from Orlando, Florida. Amen. Praise God. Bringing you live. Push my story. I told you everybody have a story to tell. Everybody's dealing with something or somebody. Amen. Maybe one day, amen, you'll be able to tell that story. Whether you write it in the book, on the radio, amen, or share it as a testimony. Remember, God loves you. He loves you more than you'll ever know. Amen. God bless you.